Google Glass. It's a new computer right out of a James Bond film or a science fiction novel. You wear it like you wear glasses, but you peer at the world with technologically reinforced eyes, like Iron Man without the suit. Maybe the suit will come next, but in the meantime, Google Glass is being tested by thousands of people, including students at West Virginia University. Professor Mary Kay McFarland got wind that Google was looking for glass explorers, and now she's incorporating the technology into her classrooms.
I think somebody was saying these will be coming out soon, and they showed the trailer and they had for everything they could do. And I thought, that's the end of the world for me.
McFarland remembers hearing about Google Glass for the first time.
The idea that you would walk around with a constant flow of information was just overwhelming to me when I first saw them. I thought, that's terrible. I need to be away from information for a while.
McFarland says this coming from a journalist's point of view, considering all the new required avenues of information that need to be navigated, monitored, curated, and contributed to in this bold new era of electronic communication. Facebook, Twitter, Hootsuite, Instagram, LinkedIn. Now this, Google Glass, and all the power that comes with it. What might those powers be, you ask? McFarland explains that basically you're wirelessly tethered to your smartphone, so instead of burying your head in your lap, you can walk around, head held high, taking pictures, rolling video, text messaging, calling someone, sharing what you see live, getting directions and following them, and of course you can look up whatever you want online. And all of this with voice commands, or with a flick, tap, or nod.
It's really responsive to questions like, do I need a sweater today? And it'll give you the weather. They sort of thought about making mental leaps of the kinds of questions you would ask. You might say, you know, okay, Glass, I'm hungry, and it'll just list all the restaurants in the area.
McFarland also points out that the design is pretty intelligent. The screen that you look through, which projects whatever you're looking at onto the world in front of you, well, it hovers just above your eyebrow so as not to actually obstruct your vision. McFarland is one of about 8,000 of these so-called glass explorers who responded to a call for proposals to test the device. She explains that once chosen, testers had to go to New York, San Francisco, or Los Angeles to one of the Google offices to pick the devices up and get an explanation of how to use them. So off she went to New York.
It was very simple, as I was just playing with them, to take pictures of the people sleeping across from me across the airplane aisle or in the waiting area. And I thought, you know, if you had a camera out here, you would be very obvious that that's what you were doing and people would shy away or say, you know, I don't want my picture taken. But it just looks like I'm fiddling with my glasses.
Enter the elephant in the room.
It just changes the complexion of life as we know it out on the street if you can be being filmed all the time without your knowledge and have pictures taken of you without your knowledge. So I think most people are excited about the glass because they think, oh, it would be like wearing a computer around. I can just ask it questions and get answers. And that is absolutely true. But what they haven't considered are all the implications of privacy and that something that records and then uploads directly to Google, who has the capacity to do facial recognition.
These are ideas that McFarland is introducing along with the devices in her journalism classes at West Virginia University.
This is not a new issue. However, the technology makes the invasion of privacy possible on levels that it probably wasn't before.
But McFarland is embracing the technology nonetheless, and students are eager to do the same. She's asking students to come up with journalism and documentary projects where, instead of recording their subjects, they're recording their subjects' point of view.
One student in my multimedia reporting class he's in the WVU marching band, the Pride of West Virginia. And so he actually used them to tell the story of game day from the band's perspective as they go out on the field and what they see from the field and how the formations look.
McFarland also points to examples like a student who wants to explore the effects of sequestration on Head Start and a student who's interested in the implications of possible marijuana legislation in the state.
In those stories, they'll have to find the people for whom those issues matter. And then we can talk about the implications of actually seeing life through those people, through the eyes of, the people who are living through those issues.
Meanwhile, McFarland is also exploring project ideas of her own. She wants to explore what this latest breakthrough in communication might reveal about the oldest form of communication, body language. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.